Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you this morning about God and the issues that face our country. Two things you're not supposed to talk about, politics and religion, and yet, here we are. I want to begin today by reminding all of us that knowledge is power. The biblical prophets knew this. Isaiah wrote, "Therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst." Now there are those who poo-poo the think tanks, the ideologues, the people who work with ideas. But consider for a moment the great military blunders throughout history. Japan bombed Pearl Harbor thinking that the attack would destroy America's resolve to defend the Pacific. It was an incredible error of judgment. Only one Japanese admiral warned the Japanese council, "I fear all that we have done is to awaken the sleeping giant and to fill him with terrible resolve." Consider Napoleon. He went into Moscow with 600,000 troops and he limped home with 40,000. The Russians, greatly underpowered, outsmarted Napoleon. They knew that if they could avoid direct contact with Napoleon's army, the Russian winter would destroy him. Or think about the Munich Agreement of 1938, a treaty to appease Hitler by giving him Czechoslovakia. These blunders all took place because of a lack of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, "Prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance." Remember Jesus said that I send you into this world as sheep in the midst of wolves. You need to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Now, when was the last time you saw a sheep take out a wolf? Rarely. But there are actually breeds of sheep smart enough to protect themselves by keeping close to the shepherd and keeping close to the flock. You know, it's not a waste of your time to be here this morning. Knowledge is power. There was a group of mighty men in Israel called the sons of Issachar. Not because they were rich and strong. 1 Chronicles 12 reads, "Of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do." You can't make any argument or change anyone's mind without knowledge, so don't underestimate wise counsel. Now, this morning, I am going to give you a quick summation of the philosophical differences between liberalism and conservatism. Then, with this understanding, discuss how liberalism can be defeated. Once you know the essence of liberalism, you can prescribe the proper antidote. Now, there are really only two foundations upon which all the ideas of the world are built: God or man. And there are many different ways this is expressed. Theism on the right, humanism on the left. On the left, man is the measure of all things. On the right, God is the measure of all things. On the left, morality is relative. On the right, morality is fixed. It's a belief in absolutes. On the left, law is a function of human choice. On the right, law is a function of God's character and his law. The left is human rationalism. The right is divine revelation. On the left, you have the French Revolution, the Temple of Reason. On the right, you have the American Revolution. We are endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights. On the left, the Constitution is therefore a living document. The governmental system in America can progress and evolve into socialism. On the right, the Constitution is based on fixed, eternal, moral principles, and given man's propensity to sin, the right system of limited government is always the best system. On the left, man is basically good, therefore his institutions are basically good. So we can trust government, and we do not need to put any brakes on the power of government. On the right, man is basically evil. Therefore, his institutions cannot be trusted. We need checks and balances. We have to have limited government. The titles we have today for these two foundations is, on the left, modern liberalism, man is free from God. On the right, conservatism, man must keep God's law. Now, two parties have been formed in our world, because there are always believers and unbelievers. Aren't these people on the left religious? Yes, but God with a little j, a God of one's own mind, not the God of scriptures. Now, these two ideologies, foundations, are nothing new. Humanism and theism have been in conflict since the beginning of time. In ancient Israel, it was Baal worship versus Jehovah worship. In Greece, it was the liberal Epicureans against the conservative Stoics. In Israel, in the days of Christ, it was the liberal Sadducees against the conservative Pharisees. In our day, we call them Democrats and Republicans. And the party differences are not simply the difference between teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox, or simply a difference in emphasis. What we have is two completely different competing beliefs about the world. Differences in the belief concerning God, man, sin, and our ultimate destiny. In 2011, Gallup reported that about twice as many Republicans as Democrats attend church. And it's no coincidence, in 2012, the Republican platform had 14 references to God, and the Democratic Party removed all references to God. And when they tried to put it back in, the crowd booed. Now, I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. Aren't there many limited government, individual freedom conservatives who are not religious? As in the case of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, founding fathers who were known to be non-Christian. Well, first, they were secular men who are coming off of 1,000 years of European big government and tyranny. And they were taught through the School of Hard Knocks the need for limited government. Freedom from government was all the rage among the intellectuals in the 18th century. I seriously wonder if these men in a different age would be as wise. But secondly, these men were influenced by the Reformation and at least believed in a God and divine absolutes, even though their definition of God was somewhat watered down. See, a belief in God is so powerful that just a little bit of theism goes a long way toward changing a man's worldview. The Republican candidate is a Mormon, and I'm very concerned about his religion because Mormonism has some serious quirks. But he is a theist, and he believes in the law of nature and nature's God. Now, we also find on the foundation of theism many secular businessmen. The great conservative Ayn Rand, author of Atlas Shrugged, was anything but a Christian. Rick Santelli, the man who inspired the Tea Party, is not known as a religious man. He saw the economic devastation and on the floor of the Chicago Exchange began ranting against President Obama's economic policies. Andrew Breitbart, Dennis Miller, Rush Limbaugh are not known as religious people. These men and business people in particular gravitate over to the theist platform because their success and their livelihood is tied to fixed economic laws. Like the law of gravity, there are economic, moral, and political laws that must be followed. There are still plenty of people who practically know the law of God, but not the God of the law. So secular business leaders, libertarians, individualists, anti-authoritarians, gravitate to the right because of their understanding of economic law and because they understand the abuse and the waste of big government. That is why you find the business department of most universities, which must work with reality, on the right, and you find the sociology department, funded by tax dollars, on the left. But the problem is, not being firmly fixed on God's principles, these business people, libertarian, independents, tend to float over to the left on some moral issues and sometimes even economic issues. And that's why there's a Tea Party, because too many Republicans are really Democrat light. Now, the people on the other foundation, the left, have philosophically rejected moral absolutes. You can do whatever you feel like doing. If they believe in any moral absolutes, they're inverted, such as personal freedom comes before the life of a child. Now, who do you find on this foundation? You find the feminists, who are in opposition to biblical family values. You find the LGBT crowd on the left. They've rejected God's gender distinctions in their desire for sexual freedom. You find academia on the left, and that can be quite discouraging. I mean, after all, if conservatism is right, then you'd think that the educators of the world should embrace it. But this is not about IQ. 50 years ago, academia of the West, being filled with hubris, chose to believe that mankind must make all judgments based upon human reason, rather than humbly accept this idea of God's revelation. Now, for financial reasons, on the left, you'll also find government employees, government dependents. Those who live off the government know who butters the bread, the Democratic Party. If the government robs Peter to pay Paul, the government can always depend upon Paul's vote. Now, off of these two foundations comes two different views of government. Humanism, government is the only thing we all belong to. Theism, government is a necessary evil. Humanism, government is the main institution. Theism, God has established many institutions with fixed responsibilities. And the natural consequence of humanism is a subconscious need for big government to give you the security and the hope and the purpose that used to be found in God. And there are plenty of power-hungry people in this world willing to provide it. Now, before I discuss the way to defeat liberalism, this foundation on the left, I want to briefly discuss the wrong analysis of the current debate, because part of the deception of the left is to rewrite and redefine the foundation, to make secondary issues primary and primary issues secondary. And I tell you, most people have an erroneous view of these core issues. And the claim that is coming mostly from the left is that the differences between these two parties is not about humanism versus theism, but simply about competing interests between the rights or the needs of the individual versus the rights and the needs of the society. One party just simply emphasizes the individual. The other party just simply emphasizes the society. This is just a small debate on how to divide up responsibilities. The liberals are concerned with the whole society, and the conservatives are concerned with just the rights of the individual. And of course, that can be labeled as selfish. And this brings up the whole illusion of social justice. The liberals say, I am my brother's keeper, but conservatives, well, you're saying to everybody, you're on your own. Thomas Sowell, in an editorial last month, wrote this. The theme that most seemed to rouse the enthusiasm of the delegates to the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte was that we are all responsible for one another, and that Republicans don't want to help the poor, the sick, and the helpless. This analysis is appealing to some, but it's just not true. You cannot divide up the parties this way. Liberals are very interested in individual rights, such as abortion and homosexuality. And conservatives are very interested in social responsibility, like a strong military, closing down public vices that hurt us all. The real divide is not the society versus the individual, but where do you get the laws for society and the individual? The answer for those who bring up this false division is not to debate the details, but to point out that they're arguing in the wrong ballpark. This is not the issue. Conservatives care about social justice. The real issue is who defines justice for the society or the individual. Is it God or man? Why is there this illusion that Democrats are more compassionate? I've always thought about this, and this is my take on it. It's the permissive parent syndrome. All the kids love the parent who allows them to eat what they want, to stay up late, to watch what they want on TV. The parent who gives out allowances without you having to do any chores. But when trouble comes to the family, who do the children turn to? The responsible parent. the Republicans are the responsible parent. Do you think New Jersey would have elected a Republican governor if we were not in a financial crisis? I don't think so. We will never get rid of this illusion that lawlessness appears to be more compassionate. Because of man's sinful nature, people will always want a free lunch and freedom from the consequences of immorality. But there's no such thing. All you can do to defeat this illusion is explain it to voters. And this is why the Republicans are afraid that the citizenship will not find out what they're doing, while the Democrats are afraid that the citizenship will find out what they're doing. So we see that real motives are often hidden and not apparent to many people. If you have no scruples, you attribute your enemy wrong motives and a false foundation, and through deceptive slogans, you can fool people and score political points. Now comes the part we're waiting for. Given what we know, how do we defeat liberalism? If you understand what the foundation is built upon, you can easily take it down. Is the foundation on the left real? Is the liberal foundation the way the world really works? Only if there's no God. But what the left is trying to do is make up their own universe where black is white and white is black. As the prophet Isaiah said, they call evil good and good evil. And it's like trying to defy the law of gravity. You can't beat the law of gravity. It wins and you eventually suffer terrible consequences. The left is attempting to make an alternate reality. Think of it as a parallel universe. I have up here a slide of reality and then a slide of the negative. Or if it's helpful, think of it this way. On the left, you have the Twilight Zone. On the right, you have the real world. Now, don't discount this as if this is obvious. I have come to understand this phenomenon more in my discussions with a friend who is a recent graduate of Rutgers University. What he found exploding on campus is the culmination of this philosophy of moral relativism. Morality is whatever you want it to be. You can make up your own reality. You can make up your own rules. Now, traditional morality teaches that hard work brings wealth, but you don't have to believe that. You can create wealth with your own mind and your own will. You don't have to figure out how the world works and live accordingly. You can make the world work the way you want it to work. That worldview explains why the Democrats have not passed a federal budget for the last 3 years. We don't have to be constrained by a budget. This is why the leaders of the federal government believe they should borrow $400 billion a month to save the economy. It's a system of belief that rules don't matter. Whether they be moral rules or economic rules, you can make up your own rules. GM can lose $49,000 on every Chevy Volt, but it doesn't matter because we want to believe it is environmental consciousness. The former Speaker of the House can say President Obama created more jobs in his first year than President Bush did in his entire 8 years. It's a lie. But it's the reality they want to live in. The Senate Majority Leader can say Romney didn't pay any taxes. The Democrats claim that the new health care law will immediately save everybody $2,500 a year in premiums. It's wishful thinking, but reality is whatever you want it to be. And you can change reality to what you want it to be to make good things happen. In fact, you're morally obligated to do so. Evil men will distort reality to conform to their sinful desires, whether that be power or money or sexual freedom. It is a fantasy world. This is what the Bible calls the lie, the ideology of fallen man. And because their platform conflicts with reality, the left must lie to accomplish their goals because they don't have reality behind them. You know this is true historically. Evil is always advanced by lies. When Hitler joined the German Workers' Party, he was the 55th member. but he received the number 555 because the party added 500 to every member's number to exaggerate their size. Hitler asked for emergency powers after the Reichstag fires. He then used the powers to imprison his opponents. The left always has to cheat the system to win. Which party is against voter ID? To legalize abortion back in the 1970s, the National Association for Repealing Abortion Laws lied to the media, and the media was too naive to doubt the claims. The NARAL hired a PR firm that told the media that they did a poll that indicated 60% of the American people were in favor of abortion. It was fabricated. They made up the slogan, "Women are dying," and made up a fictitious number that 10,000 women die every year from backroom abortions. Both court cases legalizing abortion in America were built on a lie. Norma McCorvey, the Roe in Roe versus Wade, claimed she became pregnant because she was raped, and years later she admitted that she lied. She just said that to get sympathy from the court. In Doe versus Dalton, Sandra Cano claimed later that she never wanted an abortion in the first place, but the pro-abortionist lawyers convinced her to say she wanted abortion for the sake of women's liberation. So the greatest evil, the most destructive liberal legislation ever put upon America, was based and sold on a lie. And the same is true for every other piece of liberal legislation. In order for evil to win, it can't play by the rules. Did Lucifer tell the truth in the garden? If anyone arrived and interjected some truth into the situation, Lucifer would have slithered off into hiding. It is not a flippant or off-the-cuff remark that Rush Limbaugh has been saying recently when he says constantly, "I live in Realville," or "there's this little problem called reality." This is a well-thought-out, philosophical strategy for answering and defeating his opponents. All we have to do to defeat liberalism is expose the lies, as the scripture says, to continually bring to light the deeds done in darkness. Would Barack Obama be president today if Dinesh D'Souza put out the movie 2016 before the election in 2008? I don't think so. After a year, Breitbart has come out with the movie Occupy Unmasked. But look how long it's taken. It takes time to expose the lie. A lie travels around the world while truth is still trying to put its boots on. And the left knows this, and one of their strategies is to work fast. But in the end, conservatism wins because the foundation of liberalism is fake. It always collapses. Reality eventually slaps everyone in the face. And even though the general population is politically uninformed, they still have to live in reality. Even liberals turn conservative when faced with reality. Job loss, failing schools, crime, riots. Now, of course, there are those diehard leftists who don't care. They want to reduce America to a heap of rubble as long as they're on top of the rubble. But most people, even most Democrats, have to live in Realville. Only 21% of the population claims to be liberal. The largest group is conservatives. You know, the prophet Isaiah said about the humanists of his day that they are in essence saying, "We have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception." But what will happen? Down in verse 18 of Isaiah 28, "Your covenant with death will be canceled, and your pact with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you will become its trampling place." Even if we as conservatives did nothing, we would win. Liberalism would run its course, people would be impoverished, enslaved, and the public would come begging for answers from the conservatives. But we care. And so we inform the public now to mitigate the damage and to push for a quicker turnaround. We need to vote. We need to educate others. We need to support conservative causes. And we need to run for offices ourselves. But as far as a communication strategy to defeat liberalism, it is to think and to talk like winners. Although the left suppresses it, they actually know in their heart of hearts that they're living a lie. And they sense that they are fighting against the Almighty, and they have real fears, and they are actually cowards at heart. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as lions. As the Bible itself does, we need to demoralize the enemy by declaring their error and their ultimate defeat. And it is not if they fail, but when they fail. What will they do in the end thereof? Too often conservatives sound as if they simply have a better plan. It's more than that. We have the only plan. Fear not. Liberalism will always fail, and conservative truth will rise out of the ruins. Jesus concluded his Sermon on the Mount with a timeless principle. Matthew 7:26. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. When we truly believe in the absolute guarantees of the fulfillment of biblical principles, then we will speak with authority and the crowds will be amazed.